Thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's Word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Well, it happened again. What happened again? I was planning on closing out a two-part message on Romans 13, 1-7 today, but it happened again. Once again, there was just too much to cover in one message. And I love God's Word because you can never exhaust the treasures of God's Word. And as you dig into God's Word more and more, really, we can say that every single week, there's never enough time. But I wanted to give appropriate attention to some really important things that we're going to be tackling today. So here we come to Chaos, Christianity, and the Government, Part 2. And there will be Part 3 next week. So be ready for that. But right away for this morning, what I want you to know is I have two very specific aims that we're going to be unpacking over the next 2 weeks as we continue in Romans 13. Two aims that I'm drawing out, I want you to know, directly from the text of Scripture, Romans 13, 1-7. The first aim I have for this morning is to show us from Romans 13 a very glorious truth that it's very, very important for us to get our minds around and to get our hearts around and to be convinced of and never to make a mistake regarding. The glorious truth is that God and God alone is the total, supreme, and sovereign ruler over all other authorities. Now you'll hear me say that and you'll say in your heart probably, yeah, I agree, yes. But I want you to really understand this, and specifically as it pertains to our discussion on governing authorities. That's our first aim. It wants us to understand that God is the total, supreme, and sovereign ruler over all authorities. The second aim that we're going to pick up next week flows directly from this one. And I want to show you how this truth that God, the total, supreme, and sovereign ruler of all authority, that that's who He is. I want you to know how this truth is essential, an essential truth that will help us then discern and understand why and when it may be necessary to resist the governing authorities in particular instances. But for today, I want us to be reminded that Romans 13, 1-7, in its context and within the context of the author's original intent, want you to know that it's not a passage of Scripture that was written to address when and how to resist the governing authorities. I want you to know that. And by the way, if you didn't catch last week's message, you have to go back to it. It's online. You have to catch it. Don't take this week's message apart from last week's. I want to remind you also that Romans 13, 1-7 doesn't deal directly with the issue of bad or unjust governments. That's not Paul's intention in writing. We covered that last week. I want to remind you also that Romans 13, 1-7 is not Paul's full and exhaustive teaching on the Christian's relationship to the government. We talked about that last week. There's more to be said. However, what I want you to see today is that built into the truth of Romans 13, 1-7, we do have keys that will help us understand the place of the governing authorities and the place of every authority in relation to God's supreme authority. Remember, this is our first aim. There is one absolute, supreme, and sovereign authority in all the universe, and it is God. And I want you to see today that built into Romans 13, 1-7, we have keys that will help us unlock when it may be necessary to resist the governing authorities. So as I said, the title of today's message is Chaos, Christianity, and the Government, Part 2. If you're ready to unpack it and jump right in, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I want to remind you again that we're a Bible church. We're a Bible preaching church. I want to remind you that you should come to church with your Bible. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, come and talk to us and we will give you one as our gift to you. Because I want to remind you again that I have nothing much to say apart from this book. So Romans 13, if you have a phone, you can scroll and find a Bible on your phone. Just get your eyes on God's word. Romans 13, 1-7, this is what it says. The Apostle Paul says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. There's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? And do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Verse 7, pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. We went through this verse by verse and line by line last week. And again, if you didn't catch it, go back to it. It'll be a very foundational message for you to build upon. So much truth in this passage, and I want to show you. Specifically today, from this text, three marks of governmental authority from Romans 13 that show us, listen, the total supremacy and sovereignty of God's rule over all authorities, and three marks that will show us next week when resistance to the government may be necessary. But for today, I want you to make a note of this. The authority of the government is, it's limited by God. The authority of the government is limited by God. Notice verse 1 again. It says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now, as we saw last week, the word subject is the main verb in the text, and it sets the tone for the main thrust and meaning of the passage. Paul wants us to be subject, to be respectful, to be loyal and faithful citizens. We learned last week that the word subject refers to submission involving recognition of an ordered structure. We saw last week that it was a military term that denoted subjection to a hierarchy of authority that is over us. That was Paul's intention to write to the church at Rome, that they be subject, that they don't contribute to anarchy, that Caesar and the governing authorities know that what they'll have in the church is people who will be loyal citizens, who will support the government. But today I want to give you a little bit more insight into the word subject, insight that we didn't zoom in on last week intentionally, but insight that I'd like to show you today. It's really important for us to note that Paul's use of this word subject in Romans 13 verse 1, it's a different word from a verb that he could have used, obey. He doesn't use the word obey. Now, this is important because it draws out for us a helpful delineation, an important distinction that we need to understand, that many well-meaning Christians use Paul's instruction here to be subject to the governing authorities incorrectly. Now, we use it incorrectly when we impose on it the meaning that Paul did not intend. And the meaning that we sometimes impose upon Paul's instruction here is that Christians must render absolute, uncritical, unreserved obedience to the governing authorities no matter what. Is that what Paul is teaching here? That's not what Paul is teaching here. Yes, be subject. Yes, be respectful. But no to absolute obedience, because the authority of the government is not unlimited. Here we want to understand that government is legitimate, but government is also limited in its function. Now, some say, what's so wrong with wanting to be obedient in everything? I mean, I'd rather err on the side of just being obedient in everything. And I understand the heart of some who may say that. It flows from a heart that desires to be humble and obedient. But if we're not precise biblically, we can unintentionally drift out of the realm of humility and into the realm of idolatry if we're not precise. Here's why this small delineation is so significant. It's significant because there is only one authority who can lay claim upon our absolute, unreserved, and uninhibited obedience, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the only one who can lay claim on that kind of obedience, because he is the only supreme and sovereign ruler over all other rulers and authorities. Now, this is my aim for today, because we're going to build on this next week. You have to understand the exclusivity of the totality of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it'll help you understand how then to relate to other authorities in this world. And so this small and subtle delineation, it may be the key to help us unlock the understanding that can save us from a thousand follies. The first and most tragic folly being a failure to recognize the exclusivity of the total authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be a big mistake. And the second being the folly of yielding to governmental authority, listen to me, when the scriptures would require us to resist. I'm going to say that again. The first and most tragic folly being a failure to recognize the exclusivity of the total authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second being the folly of yielding to the government when the scriptures would require you to resist. Now, some of you came this week and you're saying, tell me when the scriptures require me to resist. Tell me when the scriptures would require me to resist, and I'm going to get to it. The government's authority is limited by God. Secondly, the government's authority is delegated by God. Delegated by God. Notice the second part of verse 1 and verse 2. It says, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Again, I walked through the meaning of this in its context with the author's original intent last week, and I want you to go look at it if you haven't already done so, if you weren't with us last week. But in addition to what we saw last week, this verse communicates something very clear to us, and it's this, that every authority exists under the ultimate and absolute authority of God. And so every bit of authority in our world is delegated to them by God. And so in light of the fact that every human authority is delegated by God, we must hold at least three things in tension, particularly for our purposes today and next week. First, we understand from Romans 13, verse 2, as we saw last week and in context, that we are not to resist what God has appointed. We are not to subvert or push against God's ordered structure the way he has designed it. We are to respect and submit ourselves to what God has appointed because he has appointed it for our good. Again, we saw that last week. The second thing we need to hold in tension with that, secondly and simultaneously, is this. We need to understand that because human authority has been given and delegated by God, by definition then, it may be required in certain instances to resist that authority, not to resist God's ordered structure and design altogether, but to resist a particular manifestation of it when it is used to usurp God's supreme authority. That's the truth we get from the truth that governmental authority has been delegated to them by the supreme authority. But then there's a third thing we hold in tension with those first two things, and it's this. We understand that regardless of what the authorities are doing with their delegated authority, here's what I want you to see. That every single authority on the face of the earth holds their office only by the sovereign decree of the supreme authority, God himself. Because as Paul says, there is no authority except from God, good or bad, just or unjust. Now, this doesn't mean that God approves of everything that every human authority does. But it does mean that our God is so sovereign, so infinitely wise, so just and righteous, so unparalleled in power, that he is constantly and perfectly working all things together for his purposes, and at the same time holding all unjust authorities completely accountable to his divine and moral laws. Wow. These are the things we have to hold in tension. You say, what are you talking about? How can God be sovereign over unjust authorities? Well, he is. He is. And that's why God can say on the screen of Pharaoh, the evil king of Egypt in Exodus 9:16, but for this purpose, I have raised you up to show my power and my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are in power, Pharaoh, because I raised you up and you are completely accountable to me. That's why Daniel on the screen can say in the context of interpreting evil King Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2:21, he says, he, God, changes times and seasons. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He put Nebuchadnezzar there and he can take Nebuchadnezzar out, and Nebuchadnezzar remains completely accountable to the righteous God of Israel. That's why God can say on the screen of pagan King Cyrus in Isaiah 44:28, thus says the Lord, who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose. And that's why on the screen, the wisdom of Proverbs 21:1 gives me so much comfort when it says, the king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he will. There is only one supreme, sovereign, absolute authority. And this is what I need us to understand, even before we get to the issue of why and when and how to resist the governing authorities. You have to grasp this truth, that all human authority has been given their authority. It's been delegated to them by a higher authority. I want you to understand today the total unmatched supremacy and authority of God over all authorities, good, bad, just, or unjust. And this will help us understand why resistance to the governing authorities may be necessary. Because our allegiance belongs to the sovereign authority first. Very, very important. And very significant as you take that in conjunction with what we proclaimed from God's word last week, because we can very quickly teeter off balance. So, because the governing authorities possess delegated authority, we are commanded not to resist them. The authority structure comes from God. That's the meaning of Romans 13:2 in context. And listen to me. And because the governing authorities possess delegated authority, we may be required to resist them if they operate outside and out of step with God's ultimate authority. We'll see this more clearly from God's word next week. And because the governing authorities possess delegated authority, no matter what they do with their delegated authority, they remain completely accountable to the one who is higher, and they remain firmly fixed within his sovereign purposes. Now, is that blowing your mind? It should, because it's blowing my mind. But this is the paradox of the ancient doctrine of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. This is what we have playing out. So, loved ones, this should give us unshakable confidence, especially as we pass through choppy political terrains that we're passing through, and perhaps choppier political terrains that are ahead of us in this country. So the government's authority is limited by God. It's delegated by God. And finally, I want you to understand, the government's authority is defined by God. It is defined by God. I want you to notice verses 3-6. Paul says, for rulers are, noticed, not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. But you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. I explained all of this in context with the author's original intent last week. But I want you to notice what Paul is doing. In one sense, as we touched on last week, Paul is serving notice to Caesar and the governing authorities of his day. He's not only instructing the church, but I want you to understand, he's defining the terms as God himself has defined them. The role of the governing authorities as God has designed it is to uphold God's moral law. This is very important for us to understand. When Paul says that rulers are not a terror to good conduct, this is not some subjective understanding of what is good. There are rulers all over the world and even in our country that are redefining what is good. And they are, instead of rewarding what is good according to God, they are rewarding what is evil. They are calling what is evil good. And we can't just sit and look at that and say, well, I wonder, it can't be too bad. I mean, it's not so bad. You have to understand that the terms are defined by God. You have to understand that He is the sovereign, absolute authority over which every authority exists under Him. You have to understand that. When Paul says that the one who does what is good receives approval and the one who does what is evil suffers the consequences of the sword, he's defining the terms. The governing authorities are accountable to God's moral law. There is one person who defines what is good. And it's not the lawmakers in Parliament. God defines what is good. God defines what is evil. God defines what is just. God defines what is unjust because He is the sovereign, supreme ruler of the universe. So what does it mean then for Christians to live obediently in a world filled with corrupt governments and violent governments and oppressive governments and governments that do the opposite of what God requires, rewarding evil and punishing good? Just consider, loved ones, sometimes we fall asleep and we don't realize that in our land, this happens. And in insane ways that Christians sometimes turn a blind eye to, that there is evil being rewarded and propagated, evil of the worst magnitude. Just take abortion, for example, that the governing authorities in our land elevate that as good. The murder, the mass murder of innocent babies. In the tens of thousands, the governing authorities say, that is good. And we in the church can't sit back and say, well, I'm not sure. I don't really know what they mean by that, what the heartbeat behind that is. No, no, we can know because God tells us what is good and God tells us what is evil. And so what does it mean for us to be obedient and joyful citizens in the midst of increasingly corrupt governments all over the world? Well, listen, it cannot mean that we are only to be subject to perfectly just governments. It cannot mean that because there's no such thing. And when you take what we'll talk about next week, when you take the different authority structures laid out in Scripture, you take, say, the structure of the family, and you take the command to wives to be subject to their husbands, you never look at that and say, wives, be subject to your husband only when he's being perfect. You never say that. In fact, we often teach that a wife's submission to her husband is not contingent upon anything he does. It's her obedience to God. Notwithstanding, of course, abuses and things like that. So it can't mean that we're only to be subject to perfectly just governments because there's no such thing. And this is certainly wasn't Paul's expectation because Paul himself, as he writes Romans 13, he was fully aware of the evils of civil government. He was fully aware that Jesus himself was dragged away and crucified by the evil Roman government. So it can't mean that we're only to be subject to perfectly just governments. What it does mean is that we as Christians must maintain a joyful and obedient posture and disposition of subjection to the ordered structure that God has ordained for our good. It means that Christians never despise the ordered structure. It means that Christians never rebel against the ordered structure. It means that Christians never revert to anarchy and chaos. We don't do that. But it means that Christians work to be salt and light in the world, to shine a bright light, the light of the beauty of God's moral character, to scatter the salt of God's preserving influence everywhere we go, to pray that our land would be governed according to this defined purpose, to love when we are hated, to humble ourselves when we are attacked, to bless those who persecute us, to demonstrate that we are the most loyal and faithful citizens, and what do we do? And when necessary, to glorify God by demonstrating our total allegiance to Him above all others. And sometimes that means we resist the governing authorities where it is clear to do so in Scripture. The government's authority, loved ones, is defined by God. It's limited, it's delegated, it's defined, and here's what I want you to get your arms around, because when you start to think about this, and I want you to go home and get ready for part three and think about this, when you begin to grasp the beauty and the perfection of God's precepts and the beauty and the power of God's sovereignty and the fact that no one can stay His hand and He is absolute and our allegiance belongs to Him, then you view all other authorities on the earth in proper perspective. And you no longer begin to think of allegiance to God as just some thing that's in the back of your head. But when the rubber meets the road, you know how to relate to the governing authorities when you understand the ultimate authority. The government's authority is limited by God. It's delegated by God. It is defined by God. So, I think a few years ago, if I preached this series of messages, we would, in our church, love to hear God's word. We would rejoice and delight to hear God's word, but we'd probably walk away and think, that's good, I'll put that on the shelf, maybe applicable for another day, because after all, we live in Canada. But I think that those days are quickly fading away. As I preach these messages, I'm aware of the immediate application for us. And you should be aware of the immediate application for your Christian life. How seriously should we be taking these things? Well, I don't want to be controversial, but I'm beginning to realize that some of what I've previously considered or dismissed to be conspiracy theory is not actually conspiracy theory. Stop right now and don't fill your minds with what I could be talking about. Don't try to connect the dots. Don't think he's saying this, he's saying that. Just, I'm not giving you specific examples because I don't want you to run away. I don't want us to get off track. So just resist the temptation to think I'm talking about something particular. But I'm very concerned that people are forming their understanding based on different media outlets. Maybe media outlets that you've trusted for years that can no longer be trusted. We have to be innocent as doves and wise as serpents, Jesus says. So have to open our eyes a little bit. We got to be aware. Can't just listen to something and run away with it. Oh, that's true. It must be true. So I apply that to every type of information outlet that I tap into, and I pray and ask for discernment and try to line everything up with the scriptures and try to surround myself with reputable sources. But this week I watched our Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of Canada, get harshly rebuked in the second largest elected assembly in the world, on the world stage. At the European Parliament, two German officials and one from Moldova, I believe, denounced Justin Trudeau's speech that he gave as hypocritical, and they called his actions in Canada a dictatorship of the worst kind. And many world leaders have indicted him as trampling upon the rights of his citizens, terrorizing his own people when they disagreed with him. And I just watched, just not understanding all that was happening because I wasn't there, but in that European Union Parliament, that gathering, I just watched government officials rebuke him. I'm not saying they have to be right. I'm just saying something's going on. And when leaders around the world are rebuking our prime minister, and when we see legislations like Bill C-4, it's here. When you see it, it's here. It's not conspiracy. It's not. A few years ago, you tell me, well, Pastor Jason, if you preach on biblical sexuality, that could be criminalized. I'd say, maybe one day. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. Well, it is here. When you see what the Pregnancy Care Center in Canada is going through, their charitable status threatened to be removed. Okay, something's not good. Something is shifting. Something is moving. Now, this is not to rile you up. I know some people are like, yeah. Some people are like, yeah, preach. Let's go to Ottawa right now. I'm not trying to rile you up. In fact, when I say these things, maybe you can perceive my tone as angry. I'm not angry. I'm very sad and I'm very concerned. And I want to maintain the disposition of subjection to that which God has set up. And I encourage you to maintain the disposition of subjection to the ordered structure that God has set up. No one should go out and try to overthrow the government. That's not what we do. But we need to open our eyes a little bit. Because in case you're in the habit of getting your truth from the media, it's God who defines the terms. It's God who says what is good and what is evil. It's God who has delegated the authority to the governing authorities. It's God himself who is the only one who has unlimited authority. And so that's why I'm thankful today that no matter what our prime minister decides to do, he remains firmly fixed within the confines of my God's sovereign purpose. And that's why we are safe. God is our supreme authority. And if we want to understand how to relate to the others, especially in these troubling times, you need to get this basic down first. We pledge allegiance to Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'll give you a sneak preview into next week. Therefore, resistance to the governing authorities is clearly necessary when they command what God forbids or forbid what God commands. We're going to go to Scripture, and we're going to unpack that next week. And therefore, resistance to the governing authorities must be carefully discerned when they step outside of their delegated sphere of authority. Must be carefully discerned. Must be carefully discerned. we have to be very careful. So that's where we're going next week. And I need you to pray for me, and I need you to pray for you, and I need you to pray for our church. Because as I said, we're not trying to get everyone riled up. We want to be faithful to the Lord. And we want to apply the Word of God to our context in a balanced, of course, biblically sound way. And for this, loved ones, I said to my wife yesterday, she said, "Why is it taking you so long to finish the sermon?" She said, "Dinner's on the table. Where are you?" She's seeing me, you know, in the fetal position in the corner. You know, "Why is it taking you so long?" Because, loved one, I said to her, we have to be precise. We have to be precise. We cannot be careless. We have to be precise. And so that's what we pursue with humility next week. And part three has to be the last part. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pledge allegiance to you. And we do not despise your ordered structure. We're careful to give you all the glory for the Christian heritage of our country. We're careful to give you all the glory and to worship you for the freedoms we enjoy today. We're careful to give you all the glory because you have, even as we sang before the message, you have been good. And yet we're careful not to fall asleep in the midst of our prosperity. Oh Lord, how easy it is for my heart to fall asleep in the midst of my prosperity in this land. That because nobody threatens my life as I come to preach today on this Lord's Day, because we can gather here freely, oh, protect us from the temptation of falling asleep. Lord, protect us from the temptation to be fearful. Protect us from the temptation to be imbalanced. Protect us from the temptation of being rigid. But help us to be led by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, sitting in front of the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and help it to be illumined to our heart and mind, not only in our theological understanding, but in how to apply. Oh Lord, it's so hard. It's so hard, and we say together, it's so hard sometimes to discern and decipher, and I pray you forgive us when we think that we have figured it out. We want to humble ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you, oh God, our sovereign and supreme authority. We come to the Word of God knowing that it can be illumined to us. We can understand truth. We do believe in the clarity of Scripture, but we recognize some things are hard to understand. And we need your help for that. I pray more and more of us would have our eyes on the pages of the inspired text more and less on the screens of people who don't know what they're talking about. Protect us. Protect us, Lord. And so we pray for our land. We pray for our church. Church, would you just take this moment? I'm just going to pray something right now. And I'm careful that as I pray, I don't lead you in praying anything that I'm not preparing you to pray. Because it's serious when we say things to God. But I'm praying for me, and I encourage you to pray for you.
that you would pledge your allegiance to Christ so that if we're ever required to choose Christ or man, regardless of the cost, we choose Christ. This is serious. I want you to stand with me right now. Just take a moment to ask yourself the question, am I ready to demonstrate that my allegiance belongs to Christ? Whatever the cost. So, Lord, right now I pray that many in this room would pledge allegiance to you. That we say, there's no God like our God. That your word and your precepts are good and just and right, and they make wise the simple. Let it govern our church. I pray you protect us from being resentful to governing authorities. Give us the heart of love, wisdom. We hold on to your word. We hold on to your promises. We hold on to your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.